This week's Torah Away has been sponsored lichvod nisuim shel Avi Lissa and Dalia Feiner, Yud Beis Tammuz, Monday the 2nd of July, Rabbi Moshe Siegel, the message of Rosh Chodesh.
Yeshus Avi Moshe Shlita. I'd like to begin by thanking Dudi Itzkovitz for inviting me to speak here this morning. Once again, it's nice to be back, especially in the new look, beautiful surroundings here. Mr. Shem, the Beis Medrash of Weiter Hab Hatzlacha. This coming Shabbos is not only Parshas Bolok, it's also Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, which of course we know marks the anniversary of probably one of the most tragic episodes in our history, that of the Chet HaEgel, which precipitated the Shriyas HaLuchos. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. And it's one of the five reasons given in the Mishnah in Tanis that we are fasting, well, this year it will be on Yud Ches Tammuz next Sunday. There is a very interesting Pirkei de Beleza brought down in Rashi in Megillah, Tachof Beis on the base. In Perik Memhei, the Pirkei de Beleza says, Shomu Hanoshim V'leirotzu Litein Nizmehen Leba'alehen. The women heard that the men were planning to create this egel, and they needed jewelry, and they refused to give their jewelry to the men to be able to create this egel. Elu amru lahen, they said to them, Atem roitzim lasois pesel umaseicho she'en bo ikoyach lahatzil. You want to make this graven image which has no power whatsoever. And as a result of that, Rashi says, V'nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu sechoron shal noshin ba'olam hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded the women ba'olam hazeh. They should keep Rosh Chodesh more than the men. This was the schar for not participating in the Chet HaEgel, and interestingly enough, this is the very first halacha brought down in the Mechaber in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Siman Tov Yud Zayin. Says the Mechaber, Rosh Chodesh mutar ba'asiyas melacha, v'hanoshim shenoy agos sheloy la'asos bo melacha hu minhag tov. Women who do not work on Rosh Chodesh, that's a very good minhag. And the obvious question is, what has the schar to do with the mitzvah? What, because they didn't participate in the egel, they were rewarded with the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. What has one thing to do with the other? That's the first question this morning. You're probably all familiar with the At Bash formula, which helps us work out when the various Yom Tovim, which days of the week they will fall. At Aleph, the first day of Pesach, corresponds to Tov, which stands for Tisha B'Av. Beis, the second day of Pesach, whatever day of the week is the second day of Pesach, Shin is Shavuos. Gimel, the third day of the week, or third day of Pesach, whatever day of the week the third day of Pesach will fall, is corresponds to Reish, which stands for Rosh Hashanah. Dalet is Kuf, which is Kriyas HaTorah, which is Simchas Torah. Hey, it's Tzadi, which is Yom Kippur. So the first day of Pesach will always be the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. And that isn't such a difficult thing to understand. In fact, the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo, he brings down from a Medrash, from the Yalakot, he says, he brings a Pasuk in Eicha. The Pasuk says in Eicha, Hispiyani v'amaroyrim hirvani lano. Hispiyani, you satisfied me with maroyrim, with bitterness. Hirvani lana, and the Yalkut says, Ma she hispiyani b'mroirim b'leilei Pesach, hirvani lana b'leil Tisha B'Av. The meroirim on leil Pesach was hirvani lana on Tisha B'Av. And he says that the leil Tisha B'Av is always the same day on the same night as the night of Pesach. And he says there must be some connection between them. It's not a coincidence that they fall on the same day of the week. And he explains that really, Klal Yisrael, as we know, should have been in Mitzrayim for 400 years. They were let out 190 years early, and one of the reasons is that the missing 190 years of Golos Mitzrayim was made up by the other Golios. And therefore he says, it's because of Yitzias Mitzrayim that they were let out early that caused the future Golios, and that's why we have a Tisha B'Av. That's why Hisbiyani Bamroirim, Hirvani Lana. Because they went out early on Leil Pesach, that's why there was a need to have Tisha B'Av. So the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av is clear. But by definition, this also means that the first day of Pesach is also the first, the same day as Shavuos Batamos, because Shavuos Batamos and Tisha B'Av are also the same day of the week. So what is the connection between Pesach and Shavuos Batamos? And the third question is that this week Shavuos Batamos is falls in Parshas Balak. Is there a connection between Shavuos Batamos and Parshas Balak? And the answer is a resounding yes. The Pasuk says, in this week's parasha, when the Osoin of Bilam had stopped in its tracks three times, because it could see the Malach, although Bilam couldn't, and then Bilam, through his sheer frustration, he hit the Osoin a number of times, and the Osoin turns around to Bilam and he says, or she says, "Vatoyme le Bilam me osisi lecha, why have you hit me three times?" And Rashi brings, and the question which is the obvious question here is, Sholosh Regolim, why the expression Regolim? You would expect the apostle to say Sholosh Pa'amim. In fact, later on in the parasha, when Balak is complaining to Bilam that he hasn't done his job, Balak says to Bilam, "Hinei ve'irachta vorech zeh sholosh pa'amim." There the apostle does use the word pa'amim, which is the normal word to use in this situation. So why over here, when talking about being hit, why does the Osoin say to Bilam, "Sholosh regalim"? So Rashi brings, Ram zoloi, the Osoin hinted to Bilam, "Atom vakesh la'akir uma ha'koy geges sholosh regalim bashono." You want to uproot a nation who keep the Sholosh Regalim every single year. Which obviously begs the question, out of all the 248 mitzvahs haseh, is this the only mitzvah that the Chazal could find, that Klal Yisrael keep Sholosh Regalim? And that is what's going to nullify Bilam's plans to decimate Klal Yisrael? So the Binyan Ariel, he answers as follows. The Pasuk says, later on in the parasha, Vayoshes el Hamidbar Ponov, Bilam turned his face to the Midbar. And the Targum says on this Pasuk, what's meant by the word Hamidbar? V'shavi lokoval eglo da'avodu Yisrael b'madbaro. He turned towards the Midbar, which was where Klal Yisrael did the Chet Ha'egel. He wanted to be me'oirer, aroused the kitruk of the Chet Ha'egel. That was Bilam's plan. And he brings from the Python, the second day Pesach, the Python says, Yechupar Eile, Be'eile, Moyadei Hashem. Yechupar Eile, Be'eile Elihecho Yisrael, which was the battle cry at the time of the Chet Ha'egel, will be atoned for by Eile, Moyadei Hashem. So he says that since Bilam, his whole plan revolved around the Chet Ha'egel, that was his main weapon. So the Osoin is saying to Bilam, you're not going to manage, because the Chet Ha'egel will be atoned for by the mitzvah of Sholosh Regalim. Eile, Yechupa Eile, Be'eile, Noyadei Hashem. It's not just a play on words. Eile, it means something. The Chet Ha'egel will be atoned for by the mitzvah of Sholosh Regalim. But it doesn't explain why. I've seen a very interesting pshat. It's brought down B'Shein HaKosnois Oyer, and also in the Sefer Ben Yehoyada from the Ben Yishchai at the end of Maseches Megillah. He says that Rashi in Parshas Kisiso, on the Pasuk says, Vayar ha'om ki voishesh Moshe. He says the word voishesh is an acronym of Ba Sheish. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu came back 6 hours later than expected, and as a result of that, that was what prompted the Chet Ha'egel. Because he was late, they thought he had died, and therefore they needed something else. So that's how they created the Eger. So it's because of this 6 hours. So he brings that, as we know, to be mevatel and issa, you need shishim. You need 60 times of heter to be mevatel and issa. There's one mitzvah which takes 60 times 6 hours, which is 360 hours. Which mitzvah takes 360 hours? It's the mitzvah of Sholosh Regalim. 7 days of Pesach, one day of Shavuos, 7 days of Sukkot is 15 days. 15 times 24 is 360. And he brings the Gemara in Makkos. The Gemara in Makkos, Tavchav Gimel Amad Aleph, says that Omar Rav Sheshes Mishrun Rav Elazar ben Azaria, Kol Hamavazeh Es Hamayadim, somebody who belittles the Yomim Tovim, Ki'ilu Oyved Avodah Zarah. How do I know? Because the pasuk says, Elohei Maseicha Lo Yisaas Elov, and the next pasuk says, Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. So from the juxtaposition of these two psukim, Elohei Maseicha Lo Yisaas Elov, and it's Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, if you keep Chag HaMatzos, which means the Shalosh Regalim, it's the first one of the Shalosh Regalim, then it's Elohei Maseicha Lo Yisaas Elov. You haven't served Avodah Zarah. But if you don't keep the Yomim Tovim properly, then it's tantamount to Avodah Zarah. And the Rivon, who is the son-in-law of Rashi, who is the Pirish at that part of Makkos, says that we are referring also to Chol HaMoed. So he asks, how does the Rivon know we're talking about Chol HaMoed? And he says, with this we can understand it very easily. In order to get your full 360 hours, you need 15 days. 15 days includes the days of Chol HaMoed. So that's how Rashi, or the Rivon, knew there that when the Gemara says, that means if you don't even keep Chol HaMoed properly, then you haven't got your full 15 days. If you haven't got your full 15 days, then you haven't got the mitzvah to be mevatel the chet or egel, which is Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we can see quite clearly that the chet or egel, which is Shavuos B'Tammuz, has quite a stark shaychus to Parshas Balak. But perhaps you can take this a stage further and say that not only has it a shaychus to, has the egel got a shaychus to Shalosh Regalim as such, but particularly to Chag HaMatzos, the first day of Pesach. The Beis HaLevi in Parshas Boi, he brings a Medrash. The Medrash explains that the whole Tachlis of the mitzvah Korban Pesach was to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim. That was the purpose of the mitzvah Korban Pesach, because as we know, the Mitzrim, they served the lamb, that was their Avodah Zarah. So by taking the lamb and shechting it in front of the eyes of the Mitzrim, that would demonstrate that they'd be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim. And he says that's why also there's a mitzvah not to break the bones of the Korban Pesach, so that when they will throw the bones out, when they finish eating, they'd eaten every scrap of meat of the Korban Pesach, and they would throw out the bones in the street, people could see the Mitzrim could see that it was the bone of a lamb. And they would see, they would recognize that this is what the Yidden were doing, they would be mevatel their Avodah Zarah. And he brings another Medrash that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe that they should shech the Korban Pesach. So he said to him, Moshe Rabbeinu replied, Hey Nizbach Toyavas Mitzrayim le'einehem, v'lo yiskelunu. How can we shech to the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim, and they won't destroy us, they won't stone us? Omalei, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chayecho, Ein Yisrael Yoitzim Mikan, Ad Sheyishkatu Avodah Zarah Shelohem le'einehem. You're not going to be leaving Mitzrayim until you shecht the Korban Pesach in front of their eyes. So in that case, we see again a clear connection between Avodah Zarah and the Korban Pesach, which is the first day of Pesach, which explains, which we asked before, why is it that the first day of Pesach is always the same day of the week as Shiva Asa B'Tammuz? If Shiva Asa B'Tammuz is the day on which Klal Yisrael served Avodah Zarah, a mere 13 weeks after they left Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim they were given this mitzvah Korban Pesach, which was to mevatel the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. So we see quite clearly a connection that when they left Mitzrayim, the plan was, the tachlis was, to shech the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim, and then a few weeks later they're at it again, they're serving Avodah Zarah. But it is mashma from the Beis HaLevi, that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, the tachlis, was to destroy the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim. But there is a fascinating essay from the Be'er Yosef in Parshas Boi, from which is mashma, it's not that it was a tachlis in itself to destroy the Avodah Zarah, it was a means to an end. And he brings a medrash in Parshas Boi Eschanon. on the pasuk that says, "Oy haniso elikim lavoi lokachas loigoi mikerev goi." Did any God do miracles to take out one nation mikerev goi from another? And the Medrash says, "Mahu goi mikerev goi." Kerev means from right inside, from the innards. Goi mikerev goi. And the Medrash compares this to an Adam shehu shoymet es ha'ubor mimei behema, like a farmer or a vet helping an animal give birth, taking out the fetus from the womb of the mother. Kach hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael mimitzrayim. What's the pshat? The pshat is that kerev, as we said before, means the innards. So when Klal Yisrael were being taken out of Mitzrayim, wasn't they were merely being taken away from Mitzrayim. They had been ke'ilu completely enveloped by the Mitzrayim. They were right inside the Mitzrayim. They were totally surrounded and enveloped by the culture of Mitzrayim, by the ideology, and by their way of life. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, it was ke'ilu, like they were being given birth. They were taken out of the inside of Mitzrayim. And it goes on, the Medrash continues and says, it doesn't say goy mikerev am, or am mikerev goy. It says goy mikerev goy. That means they were absolutely identical. When it came to the Mitzias Mitzrayim, there was absolutely no distinction between a Mitzri and a Yid, lo yalinu. At that time, halalu ovdei avodah zarah v'halalu ovdei avodah zarah. You cannot tell the difference. That's why it's called Goy Mikerev Goy. As we said before, they were totally assimilated with the Mitzrayim, and they were exactly the same. And then he continues this analogy to an animal giving birth. He says, when it comes to the time of childbirth, or the labor, there has to be some movement from the fetus. If the farmer, whoever it is, gets there too early, and there's been absolutely no sign that the child is, the fetus, is ready to leave, and it can be serious. It could be very dangerous for the mother. It could be sakonas nefoshes. There has to be some sign that the ubo is ready to leave. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave this mitzvah of Korban Pesach to Klal Yisrael, and if they kept this mitzvah of Korban Pesach, that would demonstrate their willingness to leave the surroundings of the Mitzrayim, to want to move away from the culture of the Mitzrayim. And therefore he gave them this mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And he points out that if you look in Parshas Boy, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, he says, there's an unusual, disproportionate amount of expressions of the word bias. The Pasuk says, many times the Torah uses an expression of bias. And he asks, why is this? Why is the Torah stressing this expression of bias? And he explains, because similar on the lines of what we saw from the Beis HaLevi, the whole purpose of the mitzvah Korban Pesach was to be mevatel, destroy the avodah zarah of the Mitzrayim. Now this was not merely just to destroy the Avodah Zarah, but this will be a demonstration that they are willing to move away from the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. And by destroying the Avodah Zarah, that is how they will demonstrate this. But more than that, they had to totally seclude themselves in their houses. They were not allowed to have any connection whatsoever on the night of Pesach, when they were eating the Korban Pesach, they were not allowed to have any connection whatsoever to the Mitzrayim. Because this was the whole tachlis of the Korban Pesach, to show that they did not want to be assimilated any longer with the Mitzrayim. They had to separate themselves and be in their own house. And he brings many mitzvahs. First of all, he says in the Pasuk, called Ben Nechol or Yoichal Boy, a Mitzri wasn't allowed in, he wasn't allowed to take part in the Korban Pesach. He says perhaps that's why they were told to daub their houses with the dam of the Korban Pesach, because when a Mitzri would approach a house of a Yid and he would see the dam of the Pesach on the walls, he'd recoil, he'd move out, he'd go back. It would deter him from wanting to join in with the Yid when they ate the Korban Pesach. And this is the whole idea of the Korban Pesach, not only to be mevatel the avodah zarah of the Mitzrayim, but by doing so they are showing that we no longer want to be assimilated with the Mitzrayim, we want to move away from their culture, and this would enable the Geulas Mitzrayim to take place. because now it would show that the Uba was ready to leave the confines of the womb of its mother. They were ready to move away from the culture of the Mitzrayim. And then he asks another question. He asks, why is it that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was a hakdama to the mitzvah Korban Pesach? Just before the mitzvah Korban Pesach, the pasuk says, "HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu Lachem Lachodesh Hashana." This is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And this is the introduction to the mitzvah Korban Pesach. What has one thing to do with the other? What has Rosh Chodesh to do with Korban Pesach? And he asks also, we find, Rashi, the very first Rashi al HaTorah says that really the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh should take first place. It should be the first mitzvah in the Torah. It was the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, but why wasn't it the first mitzvah in the Torah? So he asks, why is Rosh Chodesh that important? There should be the very first mitzvah in the Torah. And he brings down from Rav David Tebel, the Baal Nachlas David, and his drashas is in his Sefer Beis David, makes a very fascinating thing. He says, we know that Klal Yisrael are compared to the Levona, and the Umos HaOlam are compared to the Chamot, compared to the sun. And he says that really, Klal Yisrael should have no intrinsic right to Olam Hazeh. Yaakov and Esav had divided up the world, the two worlds. Yaakov took Olam Habo, and Esav took Olam Hazeh. So any success that we have, that Klal Yisrael have in Olam Hazeh, is because we get this from the Umos HaOlam. Just like the moon has no intrinsic light of its own, it gets its light, it's just reflecting the light of the sun. Similarly, any hatzlocha that Klal Yisrael have in this world is just a reflection of what they are receiving from the Umos HaOlam. And he adds that anyone knows a little bit of astronomy will see that the moon takes a month to orbit the earth. So it goes around the earth, and at what is new moon? When is the new moon? The new moon, Rosh Chodesh, is when the moon gets directly between the earth and the sun. So therefore the moon is blocking the rays of the sun. So when we are watching the moon, we can't see the moon. Why? Because the moon itself is blocking the rays of the sun. The sun is shining onto the other side of the moon, which we can't see. So what we are seeing is the dark side of the moon. That's at Rosh Chodesh. 15 days later, as it's gone round the other side of the earth, so when we're looking at the moon now, we are seeing the full moon. Why? Because now the sun is shining all of its light onto the moon, and we are looking to it from this side, so we can see all of the light of the sun which is shining onto the moon, and that's where we see a full moon. So he says, using the same analogy, he says like this. Since the Hatzlocha of Klal Yisrael in the Ne'oneh Olam Hazeh comes from the Umos HaOlam, the message of the moon is as following. The closer you get to the Umos HaOlam, the less Hatzlocha you will have. Just as when the moon is closest to the sun, we can't see the moon, but when it's furthest away from the sun, that's when we see the full moon. Similarly, the message is that the closer Klal Yisrael are to the Umos HaOlam, there'll be no Hatzlocha whatsoever. It's only when they're at the furthest point away from the Umos HaOlam, that's when you'll get the most Hatzlocha. And therefore he says the Be'er Yosef, with this Beis Tavlo you can understand why Rosh Chodesh is a Hakdama to Korban Pesach. The whole Tachlis of Korban Pesach, as we just said, was to show that they don't want to be assimilated any longer with the Mitzrayim. They're moving away from the way of the Egyptian way of life. Which mitzvah in the Torah teaches us this message, that we have to keep as far away as possible from the Goyim? It's the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. It's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which teaches us to keep as far as possible away from the Goyim. And that's why it has to be, or should have been, the first mitzvah of the Torah. There's no point giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael if they're going to carry on and assimilate themselves to the Goyim. Therefore, it has to be the first mitzvah of the Torah. And with this we can understand perhaps why Antiochus, at the time of the Yevonim, he wanted to mevatel three mitzvahs. Milah, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. Because Antiochus' plan was to assimilate the Yidden with the Yavonim. So we can understand why Mila. He wants him to battle Mila, because Mila was the physical sign that distinguishes a Yid from a Goy. Shabbos also we could possibly understand. Shabbos is Oisi Beni Uvein Bnei Yisrael. It's a sign that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. Goy Sheshovas Chayav Misa. If a Goy tries to keep Shabbos Chayav Misa, Shabbos is not for Goyim. Shabbos is a sign that Yidden belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nobody else. So we can understand why Antiochus wants him to Mevatel Shabbos. But why would he want to be Mevatel Rosh Chodesh? What's so special about Rosh Chodesh? In the light of what we just said, we can understand it very easily. Rosh Chodesh is the mitzvah which teaches Klal Yisrael do not assimilate, do not mix with the Goyim. If Antiochus' plan was to assimilate the Yidden with the Yevonim, it's not going to work if they keep Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh teaches them don't assimilate. That's perhaps why Rosh Chodesh is one of his three mitzvahs which he wanted to abolish. So with this, perhaps we can come back to understand our first question. Why was the schar of Rosh Chodesh, why was that the schar for the women that did not serve Avodah Zarah? They did not take part in the Eger. The answer is because when they saw that the men were preparing to build an Eger, they were preparing to serve Avodah Zarah, they realized that they were taking a step backward. They were now going back to pre-Yitzias Mitzrayim days, to pre-Korban Pesach days, when it was Halala over the Avodah Zarah, Halala over the Avodah Zarah. But that whole taklis of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole taklis of Korban Pesach, was to move away from the Goyim, to move away from the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. And yet here are the men, they're coming back, they want to do Avodah Zarah again. So therefore the women said, we're not having anything to do with this. We have learned the message of the Levana, the message of Rosh Chodesh, and that is not to assimilate, not to be part of the Goyim. And therefore, when they saw that the men were preparing to build an Eger which would bring them back to the times when they were like the Mitzrayim, and they didn't have to want anything to do with it, so Midah Kenegan Midah, they were given the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is the mitzvah that teaches us not to mix with the Goyim. And Mr. Shem, if we take on board this message of Rosh Chodesh, and hopefully we will have no need for Shiva Asa B'Tamas.